Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
But I'm going to talk about the shalom of God, the peace of God, you know. Because we tend to think of peace the way we think of peace. You know, most of the peace that we've ever heard about were like peace treaties and, you know, peace after a war or something like that. And we tend to think of it that way. We tend to think of it as in terms of the peace of man, that, you know, what we are able to accomplish in bringing a cessation of conflicts, and that's peace. See, but God is God. All right, and so it's God's idea of shalom, of peace, is very very different thing. It's much more complete, much more comprehensive. You know, I think if I was going to try to explain it a little bit, imagine right now if the sin nature could just be eradicated from you, and we could just drop you into the Garden of Eden, okay, the way it was before the fall. Okay, this is shalom. Okay, minus the serpent, this is shalom. Okay, that. Imagine, you know, that day when we see Jesus and it says that, you know, so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the shalom of God, all right? It means completeness. You know, I mean, like today, you know, Susie and I were talking about, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and just in our to-do list just running through our heads and everything. And I said, I don't so much have a to-do list. I have a how are you going to do that list? Okay, you know. So I said, you know, but imagine to have that gone. You know, that things are complete. You know, there's things to do, but they don't need to be done because things are incomplete, because things are complete now because God has completed them. It's all done. You know, that you know, and it's just... you know, how important is this peace? Well, apparently it's very important because the Bible is filled with, you know, declarations about this peace of God. You know, that God had a covenant of peace with Israel, right? They didn't exactly walk in it, and they kept getting in trouble with him. But it's an amazing thing that, you know, if you're doing that through the Bible in a year thing, you get to see this panorama of things where God will come to them and love them and bless them and establish them, and then they'll rebel against them and just go do all kinds of crazy stuff, and God tries to correct them, and they don't listen. And so God gets to the place where he's just had it up to earth, and he says, I'm going to wipe you out. That's it, we're done, you know, and I'm going to cast you from my sight and everything like that. And as he's saying this, always there's this thing, but not completely, okay, but not completely. You know, for the sake of what? My servant David, for the sake of something, you know, I won't do this completely. In fact, oh, you repented a little bit? Well, not in your day. You know, and there's this thing in God that is not trying to rain down destruction, it's trying to bring peace. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to establish peace for us. Right, and he wants to draw us into this relationship. Being born again, being born from above, you know, is a way of God working something in us that causes us to be at peace with him. You know, that he's broken down every wall. You know, that even the distinctions between Jew and Gentile, male and female, all those things, God just says, peace already. You know, can we have, you know, just, you know, and he has this peace that he brings. It means completeness. It means soundness. It means your welfare and prosperity. It means peace. And, you know, where there's one Ganguly, there's sometimes another. Your brother's not here, right? Zachary? Eyes in the tween room now. All right, okay. He went right straight there. Okay, well, we'll catch him another week then. So, anyways. But I think about the Aaronic blessing. Now, Aaron, the priest, you know, is there establishing this order for worship, and Aaron was set as the priest. In Numbers 6, 23 through 27, it says, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. Now, today, as I say some of these things to you, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to teach your minds this morning, okay? I would like to impart something to you, all right? It's like, you know, When Annette Bonowitz imparts cookies to me, I don't study them. I don't, I don't think about them. I merely receive them and eat them, okay? And impartation is more like that, okay? It's like, I want you just to take all the academic stuff out of the way for a moment. You know, and I'm a teacher, and so I mean, so I know I'm saying dangerous things here, okay? But just take all the trying to educate your mind stuff out of the way and just understand something. What I'm speaking to you are words that God said. Speak these words over my people and impart this to them. Give them this, all right? And I want you just to, if you just try, okay, well, don't try too hard because then you'll not be doing what I'm asking you to do. Just relax and just hear what God says and accept it as your own. Say, yeah, that's mine. God gave, my father gave me that. You know, I've got some things that my natural father gave me. I don't wonder if they're mine. They're mine. He gave them to me. All right? And your Heavenly Father has given some things to you, and these are declarations that you just need to receive. So there's some things that I'll be saying today that I just want you just to receive them. You shall say to them, now just receive this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Just receive that. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And then it says this, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel and I will bless them. You know, there are two ways to use the name of the Lord, to invoke it or to use it in vain. You know, when we just throw the name of Jesus around like it's a common thing, we're not using the name rightly. But the word tells us that, you know, that when there's a blessing that God offers to us and we speak his name over that blessing, you know, that there is something released from the Lord to us. And so I want you just this morning just to receive that lift up his countenance. What does it mean? It means, you know how you're just walking down the street and then all of a sudden you take notice of something? You lift up your countenance. God is taking notice of you this morning. You know, God takes notice of you every day, but in this moment, in this holy moment, God has lifted up his countenance upon you. He's taken notice of you, and he has spoken peace to you. Receive it. You know, Paul opened almost every letter that he wrote in the Bible with something that we don't usually say. That's something. We don't say these things, but we should. You know, maybe we got to find, you know, some Americanized way of saying it or something like that. But he said to them, grace and peace to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He opened every one of his letters except one that way. Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you from God the Father. You know that. And whenever the Bible keeps trying to give me something, I'm knowing that it's because most of us don't have it, okay? Tease about selling, ice to the Eskimos, and that sort of thing. You know, you're trying to sell them something they don't need, and so they aren't interested. That the Bible is so replete with all of these offers of peace, that God is saying, look, peace to you. He says, I am the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I mean, that all this, peace is important, We've been talking about burdens, haven't we? All right, and we had some ministry last week from Janine about this, but to understand that God's answer to grief, God's answer to fear, God's answer to the things that we struggle with is peace. He's called us to peace. All right, I have a little sign on my door that says, "No way to destroy the spirituality of a church, better than to stir up a spirit of contention." Because that lack of peace in the midst of a body of believers is the thing that will just stifle it, okay? God wants us to have peace. So Jesus comes in. He rose from the dead, right? He comes in. The first thing he says, peace to you. Okay? All right. And at times God says, peace be still, doesn't he? So the Apostle Paul, when he was saying this in all of his letters, he was pronouncing a blessing on his readers. Okay? Hi, how are you? That's kind of the Western version. Hi, how are you? We ask, hello, and how are you? We'd start our letters that way. Hi, how are you? Most of us don't write letters. We don't even do emails anymore, for crying out loud. We do these little things that are like 14 characters long, we get our information from the president on Twitter. I mean, it's crazy, right? But But in a day when you were trying to actually address somebody that you hadn't seen or communicated with in a while, hi, how are you? You know, you'd ask them these questions, right? But when God speaks, he starts off by saying, grace and peace to you, in this blessing that's pronounced on us. So peace comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So is this blessing ours? You know, and I want to say yes, and I want to say more than even these blessings. I want to just read this to you. And again, receive it. Just receive. This is, I'm just going to be patient with it. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 1. It, an answer to the question, this Aaronic blessing, you know, that the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Does this, like, he said that to Israel. Does that belong to us? Now listen to this. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, listen to this, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, so I think that includes the Aaronic blessing, okay? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. We're Americans. We don't get this, okay? We really don't. I'm sorry. We're too prosperous, way too prosperous. We don't understand that adoption in this particular case, whether it was in the sense of in the family where the father would adopt his own children and then they would become full, they're able to conduct business in the name of the family at that point. But the spirit of adoption, you know, just this whole idea of being adopted. The girl that I baptized over in Ukraine that has been a part of my life, and I've been a part of hers for years and years and years. I was telling you about her, Anna, you know. And so I brought a gift for her graduation, and as I gave it to her, I just said, you know, I want to just give this to you as a grandfather to you. And anyways, and she just started weeping and everything, and just at the idea of receiving this gift was a token of this relationship. I later found out that actually there was a lot more going on in that picture than what I was seeing, because apparently for like all of her entire life, her father, who always addresses me as my father, my brother, my friend, it's about three of the six words of English he knows. It was funny, we were in a church and I said that he always says my brother, my father, my friend. And he came up and he corrected me, no, my father, my brother, my friend. That his whole family thinks of me as their grandfather, you know. And there's this adoption. See, there's adopt means to accept. That's the word, you know, you adopt a resolution in law and that sort of thing. It means to accept it. You know, that you're accepted. You've been received. You know, God has received you. All right? This spirit of adoption means, you know, that I have this realization that rises up inside of me, that I'm his child. That all these blessings that the Bible talks about are mine. Receive it. Receive that. You know, because that's, peace comes from knowing that, this, you know, God is not in heaven with a pot of gold laughing at you because you don't have what you need. You know, God is in heaven, you know, and he has the heart of a father to you and desires to bless you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And he predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. The kind intention of his will. Sometimes we tend to think, because we grew up with parents that were always correcting us and everything, that God's will toward us is to basically scold us. You know, but the kind intention of his will is to adopt us to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And anybody who's been around the church long has heard many sermons on this chapter, and so I'm not going to sermonize on it. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things upon the earth, in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And there's more there, but I'm going to just stop there. You know, is this blessing yours? You know, sorry, Pastor, I'm the one person that it wouldn't apply to me. No. You have to understand. There's things you don't know. They told me that in Ukraine one time. They found out how much I loved them and their country, and they go, well, I think there's things you don't understand. They started telling me about all the problems in the country. I said, I know all these things. And I started telling them stuff that I knew that they were surprised I knew. I said, I don't love you because you're perfect. I just love you. You know, I don't really have an excuse for it. You know, God just put you in my heart, and so I love you. And, you know, and this love that God has for us, you know, it's powerful. He just loved us, okay? And so it's yours, these blessings. You know, God is desiring to pour out these blessings on you. With peace, we can endure, all right? You're going through a tough time, we can endure through tough times. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Not in most circumstances, in every circumstance. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know how easy it is to become a victim of what we call compounded error? You know, compounded interest makes you rich. You know, it's like, you know, you put $10 in the bank every week and you become a millionaire kind of a thing. Well, compounded error will do the same thing, but in the reverse. All right, you get this idea that's wrong, and you build on that idea, another idea. And no matter, even if that idea was right, it's wrong because it was on top of the idea that was wrong. And eventually you get a whole bunch of wrong ideas all built up and everything like that. And then it's like, where are you, right? You know, but to understand that we need God's peace to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You know, you may have gotten some ideas over the years, different experiences you've had with people or even with churches or pastors, I don't know. But I want to encourage you that, you know, that there is a right-heartedness that God wants to bring to us, and he wants to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus. Okay? Through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay? So, you know, to understand that God of peace, he wanted to equip you. He wanted to give you everything that you needed to do the things that are pleasing to him. And if we lack peace, we need to find it. Just simply, 1 Peter 3:10 through 12. The one who desires life to love and see good days, it just goes on to say, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. If you don't have peace, I'm going to encourage you, pursue it. Look for it and pursue it. All right, because God has it for you. And understand where you're going to find it isn't in this world, isn't in yourself. You're going to find that peace in him. The world offers peace, but Jesus recommended against it. He says, peace I leave with you. This is when he's talking about leaving to go to be with the Father. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or let it be fearful. You know, what he gives isn't what the world, gives is temporary. Any peace, you know, over in Ukraine, okay, in the Eastern, oh, they got a peace thing going on, you know, and it's like it lasts for a week or two, you know, and then next thing you know, it's not peaceful at all anymore. And so, you know, the world's peace, you know, it comes and goes. God's peace, it stretches for eternity. You're going through a rough patch here, but you have the promise before and after, and, you know, God will give you peace. You know, salvation through the blood of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's shalom. You know, that Colossians 1, 19 and 20 just says that for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. All right, so, you know, so this is one of the fulfillments of God's peace is what happened with Jesus Christ, that by grace through faith through his blood, you know, it established this peace for us. That I don't, you know, I might have to worry about my relationship with almost anybody. My relationship with God is sealed. You know, the blood of Jesus secures it for me. So Jesus said that in me, you can have peace. He said these things in John 16. He said, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation or troubles, okay, but take courage. I've overcome the world, all right? That you know, as we put our trust in him, whatever the troublesome circumstances are in the world, you know, if you keep your trust in him, if you keep receiving God's peace, you know, you're going to be all right, all right? Because eternity with Jesus after God's enemies, including death, are vanquished, is another fulfillment of shalom. You know, that there is a day coming. you know, Carol's passed into it. You know, my son Peter's passed into that the shalom of God. You know, that they, I, you know, people, you know, wonder if I'm angry on behalf of Peter. I says, there's absolutely nothing to be angry. Oh, but, you know, he didn't get to live out his life and all. I says, are you kidding me? I said, there is not one shred of regret in that boy. I says, yeah, we got stuff we got to deal with, and we feel bad about it all. But I says, anybody who stepped into that fulfillment of being in that place of peace with God, trust me, I've known people that have had these experiences of going to heaven, and if anything, they're unhappy that they had to come back. And so you can find it in 1 Corinthians 15:24, but just basically that, you know, that in the end, every enemy of God is put under his feet. So just to kind of wrap things up here a little bit, you know, one of the things that you know, for us in this life, and we'll spend some more time on this because there's a lot more here, but in Galatians 5:22-25, famous scripture, every children's church and Vacation Bible School at some point has done this scripture about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And see, peace, you know, because that's what we're talking about this morning. It grows in us. It grows from the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. You know, I think there are times when we can go quite a long time just, you know, really not paying much attention to the fact the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. You know, there's times that a splinter in my finger can get more attention than the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, that's just this constant, ooh, you know, just, and I don't think about much else except that splinter, got to get that out, you know. But see, I need to know that the Holy Spirit, you know, is there and that this peace is growing from there. That's where it grows from. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's, you know, I've got a walnut tree out back. I used to think I had two walnut trees out back. Turned out that somebody had sold me something, said they're walnut trees, but they really weren't. And I was wondering why they didn't have walnuts after 10 years. And somebody said, it's because they're not walnut trees. So I bought a walnut tree and put it out there. It's been out there for 5 years, still no walnuts. Okay. But I know it's a walnut tree, at least this time, okay? And I know that it will bear fruit. I know that it will bear walnuts for me. I'm tempted to go out there and just throw some walnuts around the bottom and say, like this, you know? I mean, but, it's like, but see, the presence of a walnut tree tells me that at some point in my life, I hope, that I will have the presence of walnuts if the squirrels don't get them first. In the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, you want peace? You know, seek God, but you know, start to commune with the Holy Spirit who's dwelling in you and ask him to teach you about peace. Because, you know, we're invited. You know, this is the fruit of his being in us. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his, and it was the things that would work against what God's trying to do, against the fruit. It says, so, and then simple instruction, if you live by the Spirit, in other words, if you're alive in Jesus because the Holy Spirit's in you, well then, live your life, you know, as an outgrowth of that Holy Spirit working in you. And, you know, I don't always give you homework assignments, but I'd like to give you one, just because I think sometimes if you have the tools, it's helpful if you take them home and use them. But this week, you know, address each day and each problem by remembering God's blessing of grace and peace, and just receive it. You know, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. You know, when you hit that little pitfall and you're not sure, you know, how to receive that or what to do about that, you know, that it's like, well, God, I know one thing, and that's that your Holy Spirit is dwelling in me, and I can have peace in the midst of this. And so I'm asking you that the grace and peace that would come to me from you, Father God, and from Jesus, you know, that you would minister that peace to me so that I can walk in this. And, you know, and that's, you know, I reflected before, you know, about just, you know, losing our son, and, you know, and it's, how do you walk out from that, you know? And there's a lot of temptations to walk away from ministry. There was a lot of temptations to walk away from God. Apparently none of them worked. And so, you know, and I remember, you know, very pointedly, you know, pointing at the air in front of me and saying, you got nothing. You didn't get my faith. You didn't get my son. You got nothing. You know, that, you know, because I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to serve in ways that make you wish you never started this in the first place. because there's this confrontation that's going on about how can you ever find peace again? How can you ever find the peace to serve God again if this doesn't work out the way you wanted it to work out? And, you know, but I just want to end by just speaking those blessings over you one more time, okay? Give me about a moment here. But folks, receive this. Don't study it. Don't try to understand. Just receive it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you, take note of you, and give you peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you spoke, Lord, as we speak it, Lord, I pray, minister into our hearts, Lord, that we can walk in it together. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.